Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Writer's Block podcast. I am your host, David Howman, joined as always by the great co-hosts that I have here, Brandon Clemens and Chris Holling. And we are back here talking all things Cowboys after the July 4th kind of long weekend. Some people don't have that Friday off, so I don't like to say it was a long weekend. But for me, I don't know about you guys, it was a nice long weekend. And of course, we're coming to you on this Tuesday morning, July 9th. We are now 16 days away from the start of Cowboys training camp, which means if you were to assign that to a particular Cowboys player, I think we all agree, the best wide receiver named Jalen that's on the Cowboys. That's Jalen Moreno Cropper, days away from Cowboys training camp beginning. Chris, how was your 4th of July? What did you do for it? And just in general, more love and praise for Jalen Moreno Cropper.
Yeah, so it was pretty good. Typical, you know, go to the pool and just, you know, hang out with some friends and, you know, have a couple, you know, drinks, eat some hot dogs and, you know, burgers and everything. I will say, though, I went to a public pool for the first time in a while, and it was my family's neighborhood pool. And when I got there, it was looking like a little bit like more on the green side than I would have liked. So I was a little suspect, though. And so I asked the lifeguard, I was like, hey, like, is it good? And there were a ton of people in the pool. And she was like, yeah, man, it's all good. And I got in it, and then an hour later on our little community like Facebook thing that like they have for that community, it said, oh, the pool's closed because of algae. So, you know, I would have loved to know that before I spent an hour in it, but you know, I'm okay. I'm still living right now. So, you know, I mean, that's good. I guess I'm just built different, but that wasn't the biggest scare of the day. Obviously, we'll get into that. There was some other news that came out, but overall it was pretty good. You know, it was nice to spend time with the family. Watching the hot dog eating contest without Joey Chestnut felt unpatriotic. It just wasn't the same. I mean, like, honestly, it was kind of like the winner of that is the equivalent of Hakeem Olajuwon winning that championship the year that Michael Jordan was off of basketball and he was just, you know, playing baseball. It just, you know, I mean, in my opinion, it doesn't count. There's just an asterisk next to it. So, but you know, like, all around, it was a great holiday, and it was nice to be with family.
Yeah, I think the hot dog eating contest thing, that's something that's always it's never been my thing. I just don't get the hype around it, but I do love the idea of like the other people that compete in that contest that don't win. Like, imagine eating that many hot dogs, not winning anything, and then you just gotta sit with that in your stomach like all day long. It just seems like the worst possible way to spend your 4th of July. But Brandon, I'm assuming that yours was better than what I just described. What did you do?
Yeah, so I got away for a long weekend. I actually did take the Friday off, so I went. I was up to camp. I actually drove up Thursday morning. I got out of work too late, so I just kind of packed it up and you know, got everybody ready to roll. And I was at my camp probably by 10 o'clock in the morning on 4th of July, and I spent a few days up there. We had 4th of July, you know, we have it like so. You know, long story short, with my family, we have multiple plots of land for like different family members. So we have like a bunch of acreage, so it's all private.
That's a humble brag.
Yeah, I mean it's nice. It is nice. I'm not gonna lie. And we have a lot of cousins. You know, a lot of you know, I call them my elders, like, you know, my grandfather and like my great aunts and all that. And then, you know, we just have all the cousins and everybody. So we had like 40, 50 people up there this past weekend, and it was packed. Like, we just, you know, we just hung out, had a good time. It was very hot, humid, and I shout out to my parents. We don't have AC in the trailer, so it was a little hot. It's one of those old like tin can, like from the 50s, 60s. It's an old school trailer, so we were cranking the fans a lot this past weekend. But the nice part is I can just take a couple steps out and run off the dock and cool off anytime, because we're right on the river. So it was super nice. Caught the biggest fish between my dad and I, so a humble brag there. So my dad had the big goose egg. I caught the big bass. So we were, you know, of course I had to bring that, you know, I had to throw that at my dad's face because it's always a competition between him and I. And I didn't even, you know, and I know we're going to be talking about a certain topic that's going to be coming up. I did not even know about it because we don't have great cell service where I'm at up at camp. So I didn't know until I was in town grabbing breakfast at a local diner. So I didn't really know until like, you know, the next day. Like, it just, cause I was off the grid essentially. Like, I wasn't paying attention to anything. I was just doing my thing. And it was a good time. The girls had a lot of fun. I'm trying to get my little ones used to the camp. And, you know, it's different because when you're inside, you got, you know, Wi-Fi and all that stuff. So it's like getting them out to nature and all that. They had a good time. We had a lot of fun. My wife went kayaking. It was, you know, it was a good weekend. I can't complain. And I'd be reminisced if I didn't give my wife a shout out today. Today, July 4th, happy anniversary to my wife. I love you. 8 years, 8 years strong, 8 years married, 13 in total. I don't want to get that wrong. I'll get in trouble. But shout out to her. Thank you, Amazon, for screwing things up. I'm still waiting for her gift. So that's a wonderful thing. So, but other than that,
that's always my go-to excuse too, is Amazon screwed it up. I swear I got you something.
Well, here's the thing. And she knows it too, because I kind of ordered it late anyway. So it's kind of my own fault too. So, I'm kind of a procrastinator when it comes to ordering things. So it told me it'd be here today, or yesterday. So, July 8th, as of this morning, it's not here. So I'm kind of disappointed. She already knows, so it's not a big deal. It'll be here soon, and she'll be happy. But yeah, it's a busy stretch. 4th of July, my anniversary. It's a lot of fun. And on a quick note with the hot dogs, I believe her name is Mika. I'm not the biggest hot dog eating contest fan when Joey Chestnut's not in it. But Mika Sudo, I think her name is, 51 hot dogs, which is the women's record, I believe. So shout out to her. I mean, Joey Chestnut's crushing it everywhere else. So shout out to Joey Chestnut. He's kind of giving the middle finger to everybody else and eating lots of wings and every other kind of food. And he's probably getting a great sponsorship by some random antacid company at this point.
We had 10 minutes to eat as many hot dogs as we possibly could. And there was like a prize for it. How many do you guys think that you guys could have?
Oh, that's a good question.
In 10 minutes?
10 minutes? 10 minutes? Oh, I could
eat. Actual a hot dog contest. Is it shorter than that? Or
I think it's 10 or 12 minutes. I'm not 100%. I think it's 10 or 12.
We'll do 10 minutes.
So if it's 10 minutes.
It's like bun and hot dog, or like just hot dog?
You got to do bun and hot dog.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm not familiar with the rules. This isn't an official.
I was going to say, here's the thing. I think that I would definitely get sick afterwards. But if I had to, I could probably do, I think, 15 to 20 in 10 minutes if I really had to.
Well, okay. I guess it depends. I mean, if it's Nathan's, probably like 3, because I don't like Nathan's hot dogs. But if it's a shout out to Hoffman's, the best hot dogs on the planet, probably close to Chris's number. And here's the thing. Fun fact about me, I'm not the biggest hot dog in a bun fan. Like, I'd rather just eat, like, cut it up and eat it. That's just how I'm very picky. I could eat 20 of those easily.
I don't even have a response to that. It's hard for me to really judge, because, like, I like to put as much stuff on my hot dog as possible. I get, like, ketchup, mustard, onions.
Mustard guy, that's all I want.
Like, if you get, like, a good Chicago dog, all the stuff they put on there, give me a chili cheese dog. Like, I'm loading that thing up. So the thought about
this contest, you got to do just, down, yeah.
I don't have a frame of reference. I'm sure I could get at least 3, but that's not getting me.
Chris, you gotta,
someone's got
to
be last.
You have to bump those numbers up. Yeah. In the famous words of Wolf of Wall Street, you got to pump those numbers up.
Yeah.
Those
are rookie numbers. Well, I'll work on it, and maybe next week we can all just be eating hot dogs throughout the episode and see who gets the most by the end of it.
That'd be a lot of hot dogs. And and here's the thing, Chris. You know, Chris being he's a New Yorker for the time being. He's got to get some Hoffman's before he gets out of Dodge and goes back to the South, because there ain't no hot dog like a Hoffman hot dog. And Hellman, I know you're way out. You know, you're way out of way. Yonder, so to speak. You don't even know what a Hoffman hot dog is, but a Hoffman hot dog, it's a staple. It's one of the best. It's the best hot dog on the planet. I don't care what anybody says. It's just deliciousness, and it's made right here in the great oasis of Syracuse, New York. So,
yeah, you know, can't argue with that. Syracuse, as we know, is pretty darn great. Brandon, to your point about Amazon letting you down, I will say, Jeff Bezos, if you are listening, this is a personal call to action for you to get Brandon's gift there and make things right. Also a good reminder that this show does also air on Amazon Podcasts or whatever that's called, in addition to Spotify and Apple, as well as our YouTube channel. I'll be honest, I'm not very familiar with Amazon Podcasts, but hey, we are on there.
I use Amazon Music. I'm a subscriber to the music. So
there you go.
It does. It's got some good, it works, you know, and it's part of the Amazon Prime and all that stuff. So like Jeff Bezos gets enough of my money right now. So,
yeah. Well, for our 4th of July festivities, my 4th of July wasn't as exciting as either of you. We took a road trip all the way up to the splendor of Springfield, Missouri, to see the what's called the Fantastic Caverns, the only, as it turns out, the only drive-through cave in America. Wasn't as amazing as as they make it sound, but it was very nice and cold underneath in the caverns, and it was a particularly hot day on the 4th of July, so I enjoyed that part of it, but did end up getting sick on the drive home. Have been sick all throughout the weekend, so I'm, you know, feeling better now. Have a little bit of a cough. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice either, but we are getting better. We are persevering.
You're a trooper. You're a true trooper, Holman.
Exactly.
You're an inspiration to us all.
I'm fighting through the pain. I'm playing through the injury. This episode of the podcast is my Michael Jordan flu game.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Exactly. Now that said, even though I didn't have the best 4th of July, it almost got significantly worse for all of us, as both Chris and Brandon alluded to. Well, not necessarily for Brandon, because you were off the grid on the 4th of July, but we did get a brief moment of massive concern that still is kind of a little bit of a concern, I think. We might have some differing opinions on it. But there was a tweet that came out. It actually was tweeted on July 3rd, but people didn't really start seeing it and didn't pick up traction till the 4th of July, from Juan Carlos Vazquez. He tweeted a picture of a guy standing on like a pier from the back, looks very much like Dak Prescott, wearing a protective boot, walking boot on his right foot, and said in the tweet, he said, Dak Prescott was in Cabo San Lucas this weekend. In the pool, he walked normally, but this photo shows he has an injury to his right ankle. Immediately, you know, Cowboys Nation, as we are known to do, was, you know, very rational and acting very measured in it and saying, let's wait to hear more. Not too long after that blew up, Ian Rappaport said that Dak Prescott is dealing with a very minor foot sprain, has been for a few days. Nothing yet has come out to say when this injury was sustained, what it came from, how long the Cowboys have known about it. Although, to be fair, a couple days later, Dak Prescott did post a picture on his Instagram story of him and one of his friends, and they were walking in what looks like just regular sandals, and he had the caption, just some boot boys in Mexico. So it doesn't seem like it's something he necessarily has on all the time. It seems like it was probably something that truly was just preventative. But that said, it's still enough to make us all incredibly worried. The idea of Dak Prescott suddenly, you know, emerging from us not having seen him, and now he's in a walking boot and he's got an injury. We've had this a couple of times in the past, where whether it was his throwing shoulder that one year, or you know, I think 2 years ago he left practice once because he said he felt a pop in his ankle, the same ankle he had injured a couple of years prior. None of them ever really ended up being super serious issues, but it's still enough to make us all nervous and scared and terrified. For the time being, it doesn't seem like it's a huge deal, but then again, the Cowboys do sometimes have a tendency to say, oh, things are just fine, and then it turns out to be a much more serious issue. So, Chris, I'll start with you. How worried were you when you first saw the tweet, and how worried are you now that we've heard just a tiny bit more news?
I mean, at first it was concerning because, I mean, there's no doubt that Dak Prescott is arguably the most valuable player on the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I mean, I would argue that Micah Parsons is their best player, but in terms of value of what the quarterback brings to a football team, I mean, if Dak Prescott goes down, I mean, this offense, in my opinion, is significantly worse than it has been in previous years to begin with, at least on paper heading into the season. And I think if Dak Prescott isn't a part of the equation, if he's not on the field, then, I mean, I don't think this team is going to go very far. I mean, we saw what happened when he went down with his foot injury, and he missed the entire season, and the offense just wasn't great. I mean, like, even though Andy Dalton was a somewhat capable backup, I mean, there's just a huge drop off in production, and you know, that team, I mean, with Dak Prescott, I still have the ceiling at 10-7, which I know that we debated, and you know, I think if there was not Dak Prescott, the ceiling would be 4 or 5 wins. Like, if you know, so I mean, I think that when it comes to the regular season success, not having Dak Prescott would be massive for the Cowboys. With that said, now, I mean, I think it's been pretty proven now, and it's been, you know, shown that it's not really a story anymore, and that it was just precautionary and preventative. I mean, you know, at the time of us recording this, actually, I saw that Ian Rappaport actually did just post on Twitter that he is out of the boot, and that he's you know, scheduled to, you know, be active during training camp. So, I mean, I don't think it's really anything to be too concerned about or too worried about. I mean, I'm glad that he's being precautionary and he's not putting himself in a dangerous situation, because, I mean, I think he understands the value of his, you know, of his impact on the team. And also he knows that he could be playing on, you know, a contract year, which is, you know, pretty interesting and crazy. Cause, you know, I mean, I think that a lot of people, if you had talked to them, you know, a few months ago, they'd be like, oh no, Dak Prescott's totally getting paid. But, you know, we're in July now, and there's still not been a lot of momentum going that way. But I mean, if Dak Prescott was to get hurt, this team would be in a very bad position, and I don't think that they would have much success. So definitely worried at the time. I'm not really worried right now.
Now, Brandon, before you go, I want to just issue this challenge to you. Same question of how concerned you were once you did find out about the boot, and then how you're feeling now. But you cannot say the name Trey Lance. We'll get to Trey Lance and talking about all that, because it's going to inevitably come up. But don't say his name right now.
I won't say the name of the backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys going into the 2024 season. I won't say his name, because
we can talk about Cooper Rush, just not Trey Lance.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about him, because he ain't going to be on the team after the other guy's going to take him out. But you told me not to say the name, so I'm just not going to say it. But yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like I mentioned in the beginning, I was off the grid, so I didn't see it right away. I was enjoying the festivities with family and all that. So I didn't know what was going on. I had a few text messages that, you know, I get friends that bust my chops because they all hate the Cowboys, and that's fine. You know, I get messages from people all the time, just, and I didn't see them because of the way the signal was. And I saw them as I was getting into town and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, you gotta be freaking kidding me. So I was kind of at that point, the initial reaction was, here we go. And then, like, you know, I dove in deeper, obviously, while I was waiting for my delicious breakfast to be brought to the table. And the more I read, the more I wasn't as concerned, but it is still concerning to me, because, you know, he's due for a big contract, which could be putting him towards the $60 million a year, figure. And if he has issues going deep sea fishing with that ankle, I probably would stay away from deep sea fishing. I think he might want to scale that back until he's retired. I think some pundits out there have come out and said probably not the best idea. I've seen a few different personalities. I won't mention their names, but there's different ones out there that mentioned that, you know, if you're deep sea fishing, you have to wear a boot as precaution, probably not something you want to do until after you're retired. So that part of it, and here's the thing, like, I'm not one to tell somebody what to do, but I think there's a difference between the rest of us and then these professional athletes, and especially the quarterback, not only for the Dallas Cowboys, but for any of the 32 NFL teams. And they're waiting for you to take them to the take your team to the promised land. And, you know, we don't need some deep sea fishing incident to happen where that just, you know, it blows everything up. And, you know, like Chris mentioned, the doom and gloom, you know, they go to 4 or 5 wins, which, you know, with the backup that I think, I don't think that would be the case, but that's neither here nor there. But I do think the concern to me is if that really still, if it still pains you that, you know, to do the deep sea fishing thing, that tells me, and we all know this because of the type of injury that he had, like, you're never going to be 100% again. Doesn't matter. Like, that's just, we've all had injuries. We've all done different activities over the years. You're, once you hurt something, it, and especially, I didn't have an injury severe as severe as that. I mean, I did, but not on my foot. So I don't know that, I don't know that feeling in the foot ankle area. But because of how bad that injury was, you know right away it's never going to be the same. So my thing is, if there's activities out there that are going to cause you pain and discomfort, or you're like, I'm going to wear a boot as a precaution, which I do appreciate that he did, I still wouldn't do it because, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are your, you know, are your employer, like, and they're spending a lot of money on you, and potentially they're going to, you know, they're going to mortgage their, you know, their franchise for maybe the next few years at $60 million, you know, ish per year, then you might want to take some precautions. And, you know, I'll bring up another example from another Dallas Cowboy. And Jerry Jones, and I mean, it's a different activity, but it's still an activity that is deemed, you know, risky, which Brandon Cooks, he's a pilot. And Jerry Jones was not too fond of that. So, you know, and I know that they're two different types of animals, you know, so to speak. But to me, it's one of those things where if you're doing activities that are maybe risky, so to speak, you might want to lay off. And, you know, to tie it to NASCAR, because I know Howman's a huge NASCAR guy. So Chase Elliott, which is, he's the face of NASCAR, not that long ago, he had a snowboarding accident and it took him out for 6 races. And that's, you know, when you're a professional athlete and you're doing those type of things, you're putting the team after, you know, after your activity. So you're having too much fun. Oh, he's rocking the Chase Elliott. Look at that. He's got the Chase Elliott hat. And you know what? He's the most popular driver in NASCAR. So he's a lot of people's guys. But the point is, Rick Hendrick, the owner of Hendrick Motorsports, was not very fond of what he did because you have sponsorships, you have different things tied in to a particular driver, you know, and then the Cowboys, you know, there's a lot of money that's being, you know, obviously thrown at the Dallas Cowboys for them to do well and do this and that. So I think doing activities that are not, you know, not safe, you know, maybe they're going to do harm in some way, shape or form, you shouldn't do. It's as simple as that. And again, I'm not one to tell Dak Prescott what to do, but that could also, and I'm just throwing it out there, I don't know if this will happen, but maybe there is going to be some sort of stipulation in this contract that we don't know about that says, you know, maybe you should not be doing XYZ activities, you know, as a part of the deal. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of guys that have had injury past or, you know, they do certain things on the side. There have been contracts built a certain way. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but, you know, we lost Randy Gregory over some, you know, over some fine print. Which, I mean, it turned out, you know, I mean, it's a totally different situation, but the numbers were the same with them in Denver, but the fine print, Randy and his team did not like, and he went to Denver because of it. So there could be some sort of fine print that we're not, you know, we're not going to be disclosed about until maybe a deal falls apart because the Cowboys are concerned about it. So to me, it is a cause for concern, but if Dak's kind of laughing it off a little bit, then maybe it's not as serious as one would think, but I just don't like, it's not a good look if you're wearing a walking boot to go fishing. So maybe Dak should wait a few years and then he could do fishing whenever he wants.
I think
the most sensible
solution is that Dak starts doing the podcast and cuts out fishing, and Micah does fishing and cuts out the podcast. They just swap issues there.
I mean, that might work.
That Patrick Mahomes has in his contract that he's not allowed to play pickup basketball. The Chiefs put that in there. You know, like, he's a big basketball fan and, you know, he plays it a lot or he did play it a lot, you know, in his free time growing up. And they put in his contract that he can't play any pickup basketball, you know, with the risk of injury. So, you know, there are a lot of interesting, funny little contracts like that across the sports. And, you know, if you look at some of the craziest ones of all time, it's just nuts.
Or like Kyler Murray having a stipulation of how long he has to watch game film for, and then they take it out when it goes viral because it's a bad look.
I mean, like, honestly, I think it's a worse look that had to be put in there to begin with. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
You know, yeah. I mean, like, the fact that they felt the need to put that in the contract, I mean, I think that says more about Kyler Murray than it does the Arizona Cardinals
organization. What was he playing? Call of Duty? Is that what it was?
Call of Duty. He's a big Call of Duty guy. Yeah. I think he has, like, I think he has his own skin in the game and everything. Like, he's a big partner with them.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I can't entirely blame him. I do love my fair share of video games. I'm very excited for the EA Sports College Football 25. We're a couple of weeks away from that too, and man, I cannot wait. Gonna be, you know, taking over Arizona State. Obviously, we all know they're one of the blue bloods of college football, and continuing to make them great. Brandon might get the game just to live out his fantasy of Syracuse actually winning a game one of these days.
Is Arizona State a better all-time program than Syracuse?
Not a chance.
Oh, for sure.
100% not.
For sure.
Wait, how many national championships y'all got? How many Heisman trophies you got?
Okay, your national championships are from like 1922.
It's 1959. Like
the games had to be played by candlelight. There's no comparison here.
Hey, 1959, and we also had the first African American to be the Heisman Trophy winner. So that trumps a lot of things. I'm just saying.
All right. I mean, Arizona State had Pat Tillman, so
which is American hero. I will give you that.
Coming off of 4th of July, yeah, we got American.
Yeah.
On side.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We timed this one pretty good. No, Pat. Yeah. No, seriously. No, I he's someone who's whose father served our country, you know, for, you know, 30 years. I'm very thankful and grateful. I'm that type of person not to put it out there like that, but I do have, you know, I do go out of my way to, you know, recognize those that I see, you know, even with the hats or the uniform, like, you know, without them, you know, we're not here in a safe country. So, you know, everything that happened with Pat Tillman was a tragedy. And, you know, and obviously everybody knows what happened there, but, you know, Pat Tillman was, you know, he to me, American hero, simple as that.
Yeah. And a darn good Sun Devil, darn good Arizona Cardinal, pride of the state of Arizona, yeah, where I hail from. But enough about Arizona as a state. We're still talking about Dak Prescott. And, you know, when I saw all this, and as I thought about, you know, this injury, quote unquote, issue, how serious it is or isn't, I wonder how much it plays into his ongoing contract negotiations. And ongoing is a little bit of a fluid term there because it doesn't sound like there's been any actual activity there. But it does kind of seem like the Cowboys have a number in mind and Dak Prescott's camp has a number in mind and neither of them wants to budge on it. And I wonder if maybe Dak Prescott is in a spot of saying, hey, look, I can't even go, you know, go deep sea fishing without needing this boot. Maybe I should take a little bit less of a number, have the security, have the long-term financial security with this team, as opposed to doing what Kirk Cousins just did, play into your contract year, suffer an injury that knocks you out for even longer. And granted, I don't think Kirk Cousins is necessarily, you know, hard up for money with the deal he took to go to the Falcons, but, you know, it did kind of cast some uncertainty on his career, especially, you know, the kind of injury he had towards the end of it. And even now we're still looking at, like, how much longer is he, one, how good is he going to be, you know, starting out coming off this injury, but how long is he going to be at that peak, especially with the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. 8th overall, which you can quibble with the decision to make that draft pick all you want, but kind of he has some uncertainty, definitely more than he had at the start of last year. So I'm curious, one, if this kind of changes Dak and what he's looking for on his side, but also maybe the Cowboys are looking at it and saying, oh, like now he's, you know, he needs a walking boot. Great. We can knock another, you know, $1 million off the asking price. And then it just creates an even wider gap. Chris, is that a concern for you, or do you think like this isn't going to even be a blip in the contract negotiation radar?
I don't think so. I mean, as long as he's looking completely normal in training camp and it doesn't look like he's lost any steps or anything, I don't think so. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think the, You know, I mean, me personally, I don't think that the holdup in a contract is actually has anything to do with anything health related. I think it just has to do with the playoff success. And I think that, you know, whether they say that he's for sure their guy or, you know, not, I think that Jerry, you know, has a little bit of concern and wants to see where things go this year. And, you know, I've been called crazy for that for the last several months, but, you know, I mean, it keeps, you know, being true. Cause you know, I mean, like they're not agreeing to anything. And I feel like if they were truly all in on Dak, then they would have signed this contract by now. I don't even think it necessarily has to do with all the financials and, you know, like making sure the offer is completely right. Cause there is no benefit. If they truly do believe in Dak and they're all in on Dak, then there's no benefit to continue waiting. Cause Tua is about to get paid. Jordan Love's about to get paid. You know, these other quarterbacks around the league are continuing to, you know, heighten his market and, you know, truly maximize the profit that he could get. So, I mean, to me, I don't think it has to do with just finding the right price. I really think that the Cowboys are a little bit concerned about if he's the guy who can take them deep into the playoffs. And I don't think it's fair to judge him off of it this year, because I don't think that the front office put him in a great position to have success this upcoming year in this offense. But it's going to be interesting. I think that a deal won't be agreed upon until next season or next off season. I think that he's going to play out the year, and I think it's going to lead to a lot of storylines and, you know, controversy. And, you know, I think that that's just my opinion.
And I'll say I would hate that, because as I've said before, if he doesn't get a deal done before the start of the season, I don't think he's coming back, because we've seen in the past, the Cowboys with these guys that they let go into the final year of their deal, either what they do is they franchise tag him to extend the negotiating period, or they just let him walk, like Byron Jones, for example. And of course, we know the Cowboys can't franchise tag Dak Prescott in this situation. So that means, you know, the only other option there is letting him walk or doing something that they have not done in a very long time, which is cobble together a deal in a very short time frame of when they can negotiate after the season to when that free agency pool opens up. And for Dak Prescott, I mean, he'd be going in as a guy that, regardless of questions about his playoff experience, his results, whether he can be the guy, like every other team that has somewhat of a need at quarterback will want him, and he will make so much money on the open market. And there's zero reason for him to not at least get to the open market in that scenario. So, you know, having said that, Brandon, as I pivot to you, I told you you'd get to talk about him. the Trey Lance factor in all of this can't be ignored either. And, you know, the last time that Mike McCarthy was the head coach of a team where he took over with an established starter at quarterback who also wore number 4, he also oversaw the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, looking back on it all now, obviously things between McCarthy and Rodgers didn't end as well as either of them would have hoped. But looking back on it, it was a pretty successful transition, both going from quarterback to quarterback, but also obviously the Packers won a Super Bowl with Rodgers. And they didn't do anything like that since. They couldn't even get back to the Super Bowl after McCarthy was fired. But that's a whole other conversation. How does this, Brandon, how does this play into that Trey Lance factor as far as, like, you know, if there's, you know, with Dak Prescott, there's always the question, like Chris has said, about can he deliver in the playoffs? But also now there's kind of the question of two, I mean, his general age, how reliable he's going to be going forward. Trey Lance is a lot younger. Trey Lance is a lot healthier because he hasn't, I mean, the biggest knock on him is he's like played, you know, 12 games in the last 4 years or whatever. But also that means he hasn't taken his lumps. He hasn't been beat up. So I don't really have a great tee up for this, Brandon, but I know you're just dying to talk about Trey Lance. So go for it.
Yeah. I mean, here's my thing with Trey Lance. You know, everybody knows that I'm the Trey Lance truther. I've been a Trey Lance guy all the way back in his North Dakota State days. Anybody that, you know, has, you know, followed along with me, you know, on this journey, you know, good friends of mine will tell you that I've been a Trey Lance guy, you know, for a long time. And he's, you know, to me, I still think he got a raw deal in San Francisco. I believe that with all my heart. I do think he has all the talent. I think he needs to be in a spot where, you know, the coaching staff has faith in him. And obviously the coaching staff, I felt like the coaching staff did him a disservice with the 49ers. That's just me. You know, that's my opinion. Whether or not that's true or not, that is what it is. But in my opinion, I felt like they set him up to fail. I just felt like that was, you know, the injury situation that he had kind of did him in, and he never got a chance to truly, I don't think, get his job back. So what, you know, San Francisco did, you know, their loss is the Cowboys' gain. And some people are still getting, you know, rowdy about, you know, the fourth round pick being given up. I think a fourth round pick was a very fair deal. I don't care what anybody says, because you're getting a guy who he doesn't have a lot of, you know, he's not old. He's actually, and we were talking about it before, he's literally like the same age as Michael Penix, who just got drafted this year, you know, by the Atlanta Falcons, who's going to be sitting behind Kirk Cousins for a little bit. So, and Trey Lance, to me, he just hasn't gotten to play. And if I were the Cowboys, and I, you know, we've talked about this, you know, we've all discussed this, where if Dak and the Cowboys can't make a deal between the, you know, now and the season, I start turning my focus to Trey Lance and get him a deal done. Even if it's a 2-year deal, maybe a 3-year deal tops, you know, throw a decent number at him, not something crazy, but throw, you know, I know we are throwing different numbers out there, but you know, if you can get him for, I don't know, $10 to $15 million a year, I think that, you know, that is an insurance policy. And I, you know, we've talked about the insurance policies before. And I think that's the cost of doing business, you know, with the quarterback position, that may sound like a lot of money, but you want to have somebody ready to go if your $50, $60 million quarterback has left the team and gone to somebody else. So I think if Dak Prescott and the Cowboys don't make something, you know, happen between now and September, the Cowboys need to focus on Trey Lance while the value is low and get him for a super cheap deal for 2 or 3 years and then lock him up. And then, you know, if Dak Prescott is, you know, when he hits the open market, he wants to go somewhere else, that is his choice. That's his, you know, obviously he's a free agent at that point, so he can do whatever he wants. So you have Trey Lance ready to rock and roll. And by all accounts, I mean, Trey Lance was looking good this, you know, this spring and this, you know, early part of the summer. And he, you know, Mike McCarthy, you know, already spoke very highly of him and his knowledge of the playbook and in the system in general. So that tells me that there's some confidence there. And this all is, to me, this all comes down to, and I've said it, you know, a million times, it all comes down to Trey Lance performing well in the preseason. If he performs well enough in the preseason, then that's the conversation you're having with Trey Lance. Like, okay, we want to keep you here. You know, maybe we bring Dak on a 2-year deal. We want you still here with the team. And then, you know, when Dak's gone, you know, it's you, you know, or he's a bust. And I'll, you know, and here's the thing. I will face the music, and I will sit there and I'll take it from you guys. If he stinks it up in the preseason, he's just awful, and Cooper Rush just beats him out by a mile, then everything I said, you know, then, you know, I guess I didn't see it. You know, I guess I saw something that maybe didn't happen. I don't think that's the case. I think he's a better player than Cooper Rush, but I think they have to start thinking about paying Trey Lance, because you need a capable quarterback on the roster. And if Mike McCarthy says he knows 95% of the system, regardless of what happens, you want a guy that has the system down. We don't know what's going to happen with the coaching staff next year. I get that. But let's just say Mike McCarthy and company are back next year. He's already in the perfect system. He already knows the system. He's ready to rock and roll. You bring, you know, you slide him into QB1, and then you let it rip. Someone has to take a chance on this kid. Like, someone needs to let him play real football. And until that happens, no one's going to know what this kid can do. So preseason is going to be big for us. And, you know, we're going to be following along, and you guys will either praise me for, you know, seeing something that nobody else did, or y'all will be, you know, criticizing, you know, what the heck are you talking about? Like, what are you looking at? But that's just my belief in Trey Lance. So, you know, I think you got to pay Trey Lance regardless. I think give him something. Like, his value is so low right now, pay him. Lock him up for a couple years. And then no matter what happens with Dak in the next year or two or three, you have somebody that's still young, has plenty of tread on the tires, that is a guy that has the traits. Take the chance, go from there. That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, and I've been pretty consistent too in saying if the Cowboys are not going to get a deal done with Dak before the season starts, then give Trey Lance an extension, something to keep him in place at least for 2025. But then there's also the question, as you mentioned, of, well, you know, if the appeal is that this is a young guy, very, very raw, but also has been learning the playbook inside and out for the last, you know, 2 years at the point that we're going into 2025. Well, then if you decide to make a change of head coach, then you've just torn all that up. And now he's exactly where he was when you traded for him. This raw, you know, this untrained guy that now, once again, does not know the playbook. Only difference is he's gotten a year older and you know less about him than you know just as much as when you first got him. So that's the other thing, which ultimately all of this comes down to general anger and anxiety about the Cowboys having absolutely nothing figured out beyond this year and putting all of their chips into essentially 2024 has to be the year, or they may very well just blow the whole thing up. The other thing, if you have Trey Lance on, say, a $15 million a year extension, which I think is still, I feel like you could probably, at this point, you could get Trey Lance for less than that just because, like you said, he has no value. Like he hasn't done it on the football field. Last time he was on the football field, he didn't look very good. But even then, $15 million as opposed to somewhere in the $60 million a year range that we're looking at for Dak, like that's, you can do a lot with that gap in cap space. Now that being said, the Cowboys would actually have to do something with it, because the last time they had a player with Dak Prescott who was making, you know, peanuts compared to the rest of the quarterbacks and playing well, they did nothing to surround him with talent. And, you know, Trey Lance already has CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, you know, future Hall of Famers and Ryan Flournoy and Jalen Brooks, but
of course.
But I mean, you got to do more to surround him with talent. You got to bring back Micah Parsons. You got to extend CeeDee Lamb, by the way. They still got to take care of his deal. You got to bring in other players and do something to elevate that and do something with that cap space. But again, all of this comes down to just the what ifs that the Cowboys have set upon themselves. But Chris, I'll give you the last word. All things Dak Prescott, Trey Lance, take us home.
You put me on the spot. I don't really know what to say, but I just know that it's going to be an interesting season, and a lot of decisions are going to be hindered on the performances of the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy is coaching for his job. Dak Prescott could be playing for his job. I mean, and yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, Mike Zimmer's on a one-year contract. There's a lot that could happen, and it's going to be very interesting. It's like these players and coaches are going to be playing under a huge microscope all year long. So, I'm excited for it, for the entertainment aspect of it, but it's going to be a lot to take in throughout the year.
Yes, it will be. There's always a lot of scrutiny around this team, but it's going to be, as they say in This Is Spinal Tap, it's going to be cranked up to 11 this season. And of course we will be taking part in all that scrutiny week after week here on the Writer's Block podcast. So be sure to tune in. Training camp starts. It'll start before you know it. Like I said at the start of the show, we're Jalen Moreno Cropper days away from training camp beginning. So excited to get to see some of those highlights, get to see Trey Lance doing his thing, Ryan Flournoy doing his thing, Jalen Brooks doing his thing. So until then, you know, we'll keep you up to date with all other Cowboys content here every Tuesday with the Writer's Block. For Brandon, for Chris, I'm David Howman signing off. And remember, always go Cowboys.